You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. Let's do this. They've got a lot of stuff to break down on the program today. We got some great guests lined up for you. Mike Cardano returns to the rotation on the program this evening. Pete Yiannopoulos talks Kobe Bryant. Kobe was so good, they retired not one but two jerseys last night at the Staples Center. And speaking of good, Lonzo Ball actually played a very good basketball last night against Golden State. Golden State won the basketball game, but the Lakers did cover. And as we all know, good teams win, great teams cover. Dave Malinsky, speaking of great, Dave Malinsky is going to join us straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. And you know what? Dave's not the biggest hockey guy, but even Dave is taking notice right now of the Las Vegas Golden Knights' start to the season. These guys literally and figuratively are the best expansion team ever. And I'm not just talking about NHL. Like, there hasn't been an expansion team in any sport ever that's ever done what the Las Vegas Golden Knights have done so far. They actually have the fifth best record in the National Hockey League. Think about that. We're not 2 weeks in anymore, guys. You know, they played a lot of games, man. We're nearly at the halfway mark of the season, and they're the fifth best team in the NHL as an expansion team. It's all but a certainty they're going to make the playoffs. They're playing tonight against Tampa. And a word out of Vegas is that the Tampa Bay Lightning have been partying pretty hard. In fact, there's actually pictures up on Instagram and all this type of stuff because, you know, the players don't post this stuff, but the puck bunnies do. So there's all kinds of pictures of, like, these chicks in Vegas, you know, with these dudes, and the dudes are the Tampa Bay Lightning players. Now, we should note that Las Vegas are 13-2-1 at home. Why are they 13-2-1 at home? Are they that good, or are teams really partying in Vegas that much? And I don't understand why teams would party in Vegas that much. I don't get it. You guys are multimillionaires. You have hot chicks every night in every city. You have the best clubs in every night in every city. What's so special about Vegas? I'm saying this to someone that's lived in Vegas. Like, last time I went to Vegas, I had work to do. I didn't get wasted. You know, just because I see, oh my God, there's a fake Statue of Liberty. Chug, 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 chug. Okay. Oh, there's a casino. Never seen a casino before? These kids, no one can act like you've been there before, guys. All right, there's a casino. Don't worry. You know, how about you say when you go to Vegas here for an NHL team, you know what, guys, pretty cool here. Why don't we come back here, during the All-Star break? Or why don't we come back here in the offseason? Who am I kidding? If I was in the NHL and I was playing in Vegas, I'd be like, hey, where's Spearman Rhino at anyways? So, yeah, Dave Malinsky will step up. We got Mike Cardano, Dave Malinsky, Pete Yiannopoulos. A lot of stuff to get to. Bowl season resumes this evening, so let's open up with a little bowl talk here. Bowl season is here, but even the most ardent college football fan, and I'm one of them, and I'm thinking like Joe Lisi, massive games, Gabe. Like Joe Lisi, even Joe Lisi would be like, yeah, not the best card this week. Now, you know, bowl season used to be really cool. You know, used to have cool names, man. The Tangerine Bowl. You know, the Citrus Bowl. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the fruit bowls. And now, I don't know, man. We got the bad boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl. Nobody even knows what a Gasparilla is. What is Gasparilla? Turns out it's like a pirate party or something like that in Tampa Bay. I don't know. But growing up, the bowls used to be cool because you'd see different teams play each other. They mixed it up. And now, you know, you still have different conferences playing each other, but it's the same crap on a yearly basis, man. Oh, yeah, great. Big Ten 3, Big Ten 4 versus SEC 3 and 4. Oh, great. We're going to see Michigan play South Carolina in the Outback Bowl again. It's just, you know, mix it up. Give us some fresh, cool matchups, man, instead of this, you know, boring corporate crap. Because, you know, basically, these bowl games are all owned by ESPN. And, you know, the bigger bowl games all have sort of these conference affiliations because they don't want to get stuck with empty stadiums. You're getting empty stadiums right now. Like, look at Florida Atlantic and Lane Kiffin. You know, the Florida Atlantic Owls are a 10-win football team this year. Damn good football team, all right? They should be playing against someone of their peers. Instead, they're playing against Akron. They're playing against Akron, a 7-6 Akron football team. Who's a middle of, you know, I know Akron won their division in a MAC, but they're a middle-tier MAC team, essentially. Okay? The point spread for the football game tonight is 23 points. That's the biggest point spread in college football bowl history. There's never been a point spread this big in a bowl game before. So that's all you need to know about the bowl. And, you know, so why are Akron playing at FAU in FAU's home field in a quote-unquote bowl game tonight in the Boca Raton Bowl? Why? Because Florida Atlantic and the students and their fans couldn't buy tickets to a real bowl game. So, like, if you took, all right, Florida, you know, like, FAU should be in a Holiday Bowl. You know what I'm saying? FAU versus Michigan State in the Holiday Bowl or Washington State or something. Like, FAU deserve to be playing a big-time team. They're a 10-win team. They're not because, like Lane Kiffin said, quite frankly, we wouldn't be able to sell our allotment of tickets. Like, if you want to play in a big-time bowl game, you got to promise them you're going to sell 15, 20, 25,000 tickets. FAU couldn't do it. So FAU's got to play at home. I don't know. Last time I checked, I thought sports was about competition. I didn't know that sports was about how many tickets you could sell. That's the beautiful thing about sports. It erases poverty. It erases race. It erases countries. That's what makes the Olympics. Doesn't matter, man, whether you're from Zimbabwe, whether you're from Pittsburgh, or whether you're from Kelowna, okay? You know, you might have grown up in a different situation. You might have had, like, easier times, harder times. But you're all even now, man, because whoever wins the race is the best. We don't have that in sports anymore in the Western world. And, you know, we consider, you know, we hate communism so much, yet everything we do is pretty communist-like, isn't it? You know, like, to me, sports, it's the best. Look at the UFC right now. It's a freaking joke. It's not the best versus the best. It's whoever can sell this and market that. And I get it. We live in a business capitalistic society. But it seems like everybody's a capitalist except the players. We'll wrap it up on this. There's a kid, Micah Parsons, I believe his name is. He's a big-time recruit out of Pennsylvania. And kid's kicking the tires on going to Ohio State, maybe Penn State. He's looking at a, you know, a Big Ten school. So he goes to College Game Day. And they're like, hey, kid. And, you know, he's a big-time recruit. So he's on the set of College Game Day. And now his eligibility's up in the air. Now, he's going to play, but Ohio State have to back off because it was a violation that he was at an Ohio State game on the ESPN game day set. So, basically, if you've ever seen the game day set, there's basically, like, a fence. So, like, if he would have been on the other side of the fence, it would have been okay. And somehow he's now corrupted because he was around ESPN personalities. Is that what you're telling us? Like, where's the violation here? There's no violation for Jimbo Fisher for leaving his team to dry, though, right? Before the season's freaking over. The only thing more sickening than Congress and politicians is the college sports landscape. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. As promised, we've got a great show. Pete Yiannopoulos is going to join us in a couple of minutes, former assistant coach with the UMass Minutemen. Pete's great. He can talk college basketball or NBA. He's a big NBA junkie, this guy. He loves NBA basketball. But, you know, he's a lifer, Pete. Like I said, he was on the staff with Coach Cal Calipari in the old days when they were handing envelopes out and stuff. We've never gotten a real full story. But, you know, he was one of the young guys in a suit, sort of, you know, out of the eight coaches at the end of the line there. But a good guy. I look forward to his take on this Kobe Bryant stuff. For the record, I know Pete Yiannopoulos is a big LeBron hater. All right? He's like an anti-LeBron guy, which is kind of rare for, like, modern media people. But nevertheless, Pete Yiannopoulos, Mike Cardano. I don't even know who Mike Cardano is. But a guy named Mike Cardano is going to join us on the show a little bit later on. And I know who Dave Malinsky is because he's with us every Tuesday. Vegas Point Blank. You can read the column over at sportsbookreview.com. Dave Malinsky, the professor who I spoke to, I don't know, about 10 to 12 hours ago in the late night hours. What's up, Dave?
Okay, now Kobe Bryant had two numbers retired. Okay, when it comes time for the Media Hall of Fame to retire you, what will be the jersey?
It's a good, you know, I've been in multiple spots. multiple spots. Although, you know what, Dave? I'm moving in on a record right now. I don't want to say this out loud because we could jinx it. But as far as doing a daily show is concerned, my shelf life is usually two to three years on television networks because I'm a little edgy. Yeah, we're moving in on 4 years here right now. So if, I don't know. If I'm retiring, I might go in with a Fantasy Sports Network hat, Dave.
Why not? You know, something that would be appropriate, but who knows? Maybe this is going to be a very, very long run. Maybe this is the gig you were meant for all along.
Yeah, exactly. So far, so good, right? So far, so good, so what, as they say. one day at a time, baby. You're the guy until you're not the guy in sports. That's the way this stuff works. But as long as I keep on getting on great guests like you, I'll be fine, Dave. So, you know, quickly on the Falcons here. You know, we were watching a game last night. They don't cover the spread, but they do win the football game. And now they're 9-5. And I don't know if there's been so much negativity around a 9-5 football team before. And, you know, they're getting by, but they're still not really clicking. And I wonder if it just falls into place for them, if they just are able to raise it up a notch. They got a massive football game coming up this week, and their schedule is not doing them any favors playing the Saints and the Panthers over the next couple of weeks. But for all the negativity around the Falcons, Dave, here they are at 9-5 in first place right now in a tie.
It's an awfully talented team. What we're not seeing is we're just not seeing that crispness that we saw in 2016. I think the problem, though, Gabe, is they were better than they were supposed to be last year. And that, I think, is what misshaped the perceptions. Matt Ryan looked 5 years younger last season. He looks like Matt Ryan again now. A lot of opportunities to make plays against Tampa that he didn't make. He missed a lot of throws.
Yep.
That's just simply who he is at this stage. So the Falcons are good. They just don't maximize what they have.
But they're surviving. You're right. They're not maximizing this, but they are surviving. Okay, so the Carolina Panthers. So you got the Falcons, the Saints, and the Panthers. It's going to be a demolition derby elimination death chamber match going on over the next couple of weeks here. Panthers are starting to roll right now, Dave. Very confident and, confident and crisp football team against the Green Bay Packers. You know, like you said, the Falcons are winning, but they're not crisp. They're dropping passes. They're just, you know, they're doing enough to get by to win football games. You look at the Carolina Panthers right now, and they've always been a great December team, Dave. You know, you remember 2-3 years ago before they made the Super Bowl, I think they started, 3-8 or so, and then they run the table and ended up finishing 8-8, and it catapulted them in the next year when they went 15-1. And we've seen Cam Newton and Ron Rivera in their careers, Dave. They've been very good in the month of December, and it looks like this December is no different. And as you write in your column today over at sportsbookreview.com, you look at them cosmetically, and it's like, well, Funchess really isn't a legitimate number one wide receiver. You know, Olsen's just back from injury, and they really haven't figured out how to use McCaffrey yet. But with all that being stated, they're unpredictable, aren't they, Dave? Because you really don't know what they're going to do because they're still learning their offense on a weekly basis.
No, because I think something people need to keep in mind, and this is why you want to take a lot of the Carolina stats early in the year and put them in the drawer. Greg Olsen caught more passes Sunday than he had all season. He's healthy now. So what they might be able to do, because Newton can run, because McCaffrey can catch, and because of Olsen's skills, they may not only be able to work without quality wide receivers, but they become a real difficult matchup because they're going to show you things that you don't see week in and week out. They're going to be a tough matchup for opposing defensive coordinators. So keep in mind when we get to January. Yeah, Minnesota's been better than Carolina this year. Philadelphia's been better. But when we get to January, Carolina has been there before. They'll be a little calmer under those particular pressures. That's an interesting team to us right now, Gabe.
Yeah, that's the one thing I sort of like about the Falcons, that they, even though with everything around them, they still sort of have that belief. And defensively, and we talk so much about offense, defensively the Falcons are playing pretty good football. But, yeah, this Panther team's real dangerous right now. And this is where it comes into play with Nick Foles, isn't it? You know, you have Carolina going in there, let's say NFC Conference Championship game against Carson Wentz. You know, it's a tough spot for them. But suddenly with Nick Foles, like we talked about, Dave, you know that the Nick Foles is going to be fine until he isn't at some point. And he just doesn't have that next level, I don't think. Plus, they have that secondary issue as well. Are Carolina a team that you think are that dangerous, like potential Super Bowl run here?
You know, I do because, again, we see flaws from these other teams. When you get to January, as good as the Vikings and Eagles have been, it's still Case Keenum and Nick Foles. And if we talk about the Rams, Jared Goff hasn't seen a January before either. Now, he's got more upside than a Keenum or a Foles. But outside of Drew Brees, most of the quarterbacks they're going to have to face come January are guys they're just not going to be that afraid of. In the meantime, they've got several games now to develop this chemistry even more. And to talk about what it means in terms of matchups, that opening drive against Green Bay, 15 plays, 85 yards, touchdown. Wide receiver never touched the ball that entire drive. That is an unorthodox way to make things happen. But when you have the special talents they have at a couple of those spots, you could do that. Here's what's impressed me, though, Gabe. We knew that Christian McCaffrey was going to beat linebackers in coverage pretty consistently. He's beating defensive backs in coverage as well. Teams that are trying to cover McCaffrey with a traditional nickel guy, they're struggling with that a little bit. So Carolina's got some upside.
Dave Malinsky with us. You can read his column on the front page of sportsbookreview.com. All right, Dave. Green Bay Packers eliminated officially. The Atlanta Falcons win. Green Bay's out. There's no, well, if this happens and that happens and this happens, we get in. No, there's nothing that can happen for the Green Bay Packers. They're officially eliminated right now. What do you do with Aaron Rodgers here, Dave? I mean, I guess, you know, it's a home game. It's the last home game. You roll him out here for a half, for a quarter, show him to the fans. But to me, he didn't look to be 100% last week. He looked to be, you know, ginger. I'm not going to say they rushed him back, but, you got to believe that they did rush him back. I know we heard, no, he's been fine for the last couple of weeks. He wasn't fine. He wasn't 100%. And he got hit freaking hard a couple of times in that game last week, Dave. I was watching that game. Do you play Aaron Rodgers here from here on out if you're the Green Bay Packers?
I don't, but I'm not quite sure what their position is going to be in that. The Packers have obviously a better connection to their fan base than any team to any fan base, not just in football, maybe in all of sports. So in that home game on a Saturday night where they know a lot of their fans have all season prepped for this particular game, this is a big deal in that community, I wouldn't be surprised if Green Bay is the one team that maybe twisted something just a little bit for those fans, and maybe we do see him out there. It would surprise. I don't do it if I'm the Packers.
I start him, Dave.
I wouldn't be surprised.
How about you handle like a preseason game? Because the fans haven't seen him in a couple of months. You sort of thank them, like you said. The fans own the damn team. You know, it's a different breed. You know Rodgers is going to want to play. But Minnesota are a nasty defense. Minnesota is a damn defense that hurt him in the first place. And if he goes out there and he hurts his shoulder or something, Dave, and he needs surgery, you know, it's just pointless. Like, to me, I would start him. I would tell him, be careful. You know what you're doing, but you're not playing the whole game, bro. That's what I would tell him.
You know, I think it makes sense. That gives you the best of both worlds. Gives you a chance to work Brett Hundley a little bit more.
Yep.
Because you still have – there's a decision they probably haven't signed off on yet with Hundley. Has Hundley certified – that he's the legit number two, or could he be the number one to replace Rodgers in a couple of years? I don't think they've seen enough to know that yet.
I think he's certified. I think he showed that he could be the number two. I thought he got better, although he was inconsistent, but you're right. Is he the next guy? No.
So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see Rodgers out there a little bit at the start. But now here's the problem. If the game's close, as long as you're in it with a chance to win, it becomes difficult to pull that trigger and get him out of there.
All right, so the Rams smashed Seattle on Sunday. You know, as you wrote, they had great field position in this football game, and I was baffled by this as well, that they left Jared Goff in late in the football game, Dave. They were up by 42 points, and you have Jared Goff still throwing passes out there and potentially getting hit. I didn't understand that at all either. I think the Rams are in for a big letdown this week against Tennessee. And, you know, we should get Tennessee's best in this football game, a desperate Tennessee team who no doubt are free-falling. I'm not a big Mike Mularkey guy. Mariota's struggling. They did show a little heart in the game against the Niners, going back and forth late in the game. But as bad as Tennessee's been, they're still in the playoffs right now. They could stop the bleeding with a win in this football game. What's your take on this one?
You know, I'm surprised that this number keeps trickling up because I think we're going to see full sevens at some point. The Rams have talent as good as any team in the NFL, but the questions of poise, maturity, and moxie, they aren't there yet. When they had the big showdown at Minnesota a couple of weeks ago, that was a clunker by the Rams. Now they're off of the Eagles and Seahawks back-to-back. Two games that brought a lot of spark to them. Even though the Seattle game was easy on the field, that doesn't take away from the adrenaline they had going into it. I could see this being a difficult spot, you know, for the Rams. And as an all-in with Tennessee, Tennessee has not played well this year. They haven't made a progression. Part of it is the coaching staff. We may see Mularkey and Robiskie both gone at the end of the year. But they're not an easy team to put out of a game. Tennessee does enough right that if you're going to go on the road and beat them by more than a touchdown, you're going to have to play very, very well. I'm not sure the Rams will play that well here.
Dave, and I have your column open. And, you know, Todd Gurley, 152 yards on 21 carries. You know, he's just been a monster for them this year. But I didn't realize. So the Rams, seven scoring drives for the Rams. Total distance, 228 yards only. That's you don't often see that.
No, I mean, here's a team that scored 40 offensive points, but all 40 started in Seattle territory. Even that 57-yard run by Gurley, that drive actually started on the Seattle side of the field. So there are still some questions about that offense. Jared Goff had two very bad games against Seattle in his career. Goff wasn't all that good Sunday either. And maybe that's part of why they still had him out there throwing in the fourth quarter to develop a little bit of confidence, because you'll have to go up against that defense twice every year in the future. But no, mentally, the Rams haven't passed all of the tests yet.
Dave, let's talk a little bit about the Christmas night game. You know, the game that you probably won't be watching, actually, because you have a social life. But the Christmas night game, the Raiders and the Eagles. You know, Raiders battled. They battled with the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football, but they still ended up falling short, and they got pretty beat up and injured as the game went on. You know, the Raiders are now out of the playoff picture. They have to play Christmas night in the cold at Philadelphia. Philadelphia, with the win, wrap up home field advantage throughout the playoffs, so they're going to be fired up. The faithful is going to be fired up. It sucks, you know, for a road team to be playing on Christmas, but, you know, Eagle fans are going to enjoy it. If the Eagles were a six-win team, then it would be like, oh, God, you know, fans don't want to go to the game and the players are in whatever mode. But you and I talked about it, Dave. Life's great if you're on the Eagles. I know you lost Carson Wentz, but, you know, you're still a damn good football team. You're about to wrap up a home field. You wrap up home field and go home for a late Christmas dinner, Dave. You know, I could see the Raiders really rolling over in this football game. I'm not a big fan of laying 9 points. And it was higher. It's actually come down, but... And for teaser players, how do we not take the Eagles down to -2 and -3, Dave?
Yeah, I don't know what you get from Oakland here. I mean, Donald Penn will not make the trip. He had 170 straight NFL starts. Maybe both of the wide receivers. Crabtree's in the concussion protocol now. Cooper still has the bad ankle. Do you force them out there on a Monday night on the road when the temperature might be a little chilly? When for the Raiders, you have a much bigger game on deck. That game in L.A. against the Chargers next week, I think, matters to them.
Yeah.
So I think the Raiders are going to struggle. And keep in mind, the Raiders game all season have been losing touch on the road. They got blown out at Washington by 17, lost at Buffalo by 20, a game that you'll certainly remember. The game against New England in Mexico City, they were never in the hunt. Even that loss at Kansas City, 26-15 on the scoreboard, it's 26-0 in the fourth quarter. So the Raiders have lost touch all season on the road anyway. I think they could lose touch early come Monday night.
And Dave, an advanced weather check. Absolute nightmare if you're the Raiders. The worst thing you want to see. 60% chance of rain, heavy showers, 45 degrees, 12-mile-an-hour wind. So not only is it Christmas night, not only are they going to be on the East Coast, not only like did their season implode, they're going to be wet. Nobody likes being wet, Dave. You know what I'm saying? You know, like their feet are going to be wet. They're going to be cold. The Eagles, Jay and Jai and Blunt, are going to be running the ball down their throat. It's going to be a bad time. Like, I think this one does get ugly.
It's really got all the makings to it. And keep in mind, Philly's not going to be flat at all here because Philadelphia actually stunk against the Giants. They allowed the Giants to go for over 500 yards.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson was real angry after that game. Schwartz, a defensive coordinator, real angry after that game because they know the quality of football they played Sunday in New York won't win a playoff game. So they've got two games left to get that fixed. They've got to play at a playoff caliber. Ideally, what you want to do is play your best against Oakland so you can take the final game off. And that's something that can motivate players. If the players know, hey, if we go out and take this team apart Monday, if we play our best game, we get a week off, that could matter in their motivation.
Massive. All right, Dave, we've got a minute left. We've got the Boca Raton Bowl on tap tonight. I'm disappointed. I talked about it off the top of the program. FAU deserve better than playing on their home field against the Akron Zips. But college football is a business, and quite frankly, FAU wouldn't be able to sell their bowl allotment amount of tickets if they played in a bigger bowl game on the road. So they're stuck in this spot. It's actually, I was reading Mark Lawrence's Coffee Club this morning, and Mark pointed out this is the largest point spread in college football bowl history, Dave. Unbelievable. It's come down to 22.5 right now. Any opinion on this game tonight? And Coach Terry Bowden is 7-1 against the spread in his career as a dog of 17 or more points.
My temptation at first was to think that the FAU kids would be flat, but on the reading day by day, I don't think that turned out to be the case. They might have wanted to play Troy in the New Orleans Bowl Saturday because New Orleans would have been a good trip. But outside of that, all of the other conference ties that they would have been up for, they'd rather stay at home in Boca than go to some of those other cities. So if you think about where a lot of these bowl games are, Montgomery, Shreveport, Mobile, Birmingham, hey, there's nothing wrong with staying at Boca Raton in December where it's been in the 80s all week long. So I think the kids will be fresh and hungry. Yeah, it's a very, very high spread, but no surprise if Florida Atlantic scores into the 50s here. That's a very dynamic offense.
And I can imagine a trick tour playoff playing Kiffin and Kendall Bryles' sleeve here tonight in the last game of the year. Like, yeah, they're not going to take the pedal off the metal. Dave, it's always a pleasure. Some great reading stuff. It'll make you a lot smarter. Over at sportsbookreview.com. It's right there on the front page. Vegas Point Blank, also Dave's Twitter handle. Thanks for the time. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, Dave. And, we'll speak next Tuesday, actually. No, we're not.
No, we're not.
Sorry, we're not here. That's why. This is it.
No, we will speak to this particular audience next year.
Yeah, next year. The day after the playoffs. That's right. All right, Dave.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
Get a glass of water. Dave Malinsky was. I swear to God, Sean, it's a common theme, man. Everyone in the industry, we're falling apart. Teddy's voice, Malinsky. Last night, Magic Johnson. I want to thank Kobe Bryant for everything he did. I'm like, man, even Magic. Eric Burnett hasn't sounded like normal on CNN in 2 months. You do shows every day. The pipes start to crack. Pete Annapolis, Smooth as Silk, next.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's talk some basketball, some NBA basketball. Former assistant with the UMass Minutemen, RDS television analyst, regular contributor right here on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. Pete Annapolis joins us. You can follow him on Twitter at Pete Annapolis. I would spell it out, but we're not going to do that. Just look at the Twitter handle on the screen. I'm assuming our boys in the booth did a little copy and paste on this one. Pete Annapolis. And for the record, no. This isn't the guy that colluded with the Russians with Trump. That's Papadopoulos. What's up, Pete? Are you the guy? Did you collude with Putin too, or were you in on this with Pizzagate and everything? Fake Facebook accounts.
The only Putin I like is the Putin after 3 a.m. after a night out in Montreal. You know that game.
All right. So Kobe Bryant enjoyed some nights out on the town over the years. He gets his. Like I said earlier, he's so cool and so good that they had to retire two numbers for him last night. So Kobe has his number 8 and his number 24 retired. Lakers played really well last night. Lonzo Ball probably played his best game, hitting threes, confident, taking it to the rack. So Lonzo definitely is improving. But let's talk about Kobe a little bit. And it was inevitable that the comparison started to happen. Where does Kobe rank? And then the LeBron new school people came out in full force stating that, you know, Kobe Bryant's nowhere near as good as LeBron James. And LeBron James is so more versatile. And LeBron James this, LeBron James that. And I don't want Kobe Bryant's retired jersey night to turn into a bash LeBron James session. But I just, you know, simply told him, I don't remember Kobe Bryant ever tapping out, you know, because it was too hot and he had cramps in an NBA Finals game. I don't remember Jordan doing that either. I remember Jordan, you know, being in a hospital with IVs, getting out and winning basketball games. LeBron James is good, but Kobe, you know, and the way I described it is LeBron James, a great player, best player in the NBA right now, best player of our generation. LeBron James is also a nice guy who, you know, wants to win. But if he wins, you know, he wins. If he doesn't, you know, he goes to the Bahamas with Rihanna for a couple of weeks. You know, he's got his pizza business. He wants to be an entrepreneur. You notice Kobe Bryant doesn't care about all that business stuff, Pete? He doesn't care about owning a pizza place. He doesn't care about, oh, I want to own a Pepsi factory and a movie company. Kobe Bryant cared about winning. And was he a selfish guy? Was he a jerk? Yes. Most alpha male guys are. He cared about winning, and he won 5 times. You know, I'm not criticizing LeBron, but Kobe Bryant, to me, is in the same category as a Larry Bird and a Michael Jordan of killer instinct champions. What's your take, Pete?
Well, I would echo a lot of those sentiments, Gabe, and I think there's a blatant disrespect to the career of Kobe Bryant when people keep talking about LeBron James and comparing him to only Michael Jordan. LeBron James' career has not surpassed the career of Kobe Bryant right now. Could it change? Maybe if he wins a couple more championships. But like you said, Kobe Bryant was a ruthless killer. He wanted to kill you. He didn't care about you, your feelings. Even as a teammate, he pushed you so hard that you hated him, but he did it because it was going to make him better and the team better and for him to have a chance to win. I live by this quote, and I love it. Winning isn't everything. It's the only thing, by the great Vince Lombardi. That's Kobe Bryant. And when he did not win, he was devastated. Didn't want to shake hands, hugs, do anything like that. This guy, 20 years, 18-year All-Star. I mean, first-team All-Defense over 10 times. I mean, the numbers are there. The records are there. He won 5 championships, and we know how difficult it is to win a championship in the NBA when you're a superstar. And that's how I measure the all-time greats, Gabe Morenci, by the championships, because the NBA is the only sport where the superstar player, not a role player, not Robert Horry, not Bruce Bowen, a superstar player plays both offense, plays both defense, and plays 48 minutes a game. That's why they have the most dominant effect to either win or lose the basketball game, hence a championship. And that's why the great of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Kobe, Shaq has 4. Listen, to me, Kobe Bryant has so many spectacular moments, and that's why the accolades were flying last night, because people respected the competitiveness. You played sports, Gabe. I played. Everybody's played sports at a certain level. And the name of the game is competing and winning, and that's what Kobe Bryant brought.
Yeah, there's very, even among the greatest athletes in the world, he has an attitude that not a lot of guys have. And specifically in today's NBA, they don't have. Draymond Green has it. You know, there's a few dudes, Kawhi Leonard. There's a few guys that are just sort of, you know, one-track focused. Like, you know, Kawhi Leonard, you can't tell if they won or they lost. He doesn't smile either way. You know, he's the same. Like, he's just, you know, he's all in all the time. It's a different league, and I would state it's part of it is money, isn't it? Part of it is money. They make so much money, they lose the hunger. But even then, you can't teach. It's a guy like, you know, like Jim Harbaugh. You know, like Harbaugh gets mad if he loses at table tennis, ping pong. Baker Mayfield's a kid like this, a quarterback coming out. He just has that it factor where you can tell. He thinks he's better than you. He's not scared to tell you he's better than you. That's a good thing. People in today's culture, oh, my God, he's so brash. He's so arrogant. And no, he thinks he's the best. And, like, how many kids today would come into the league and go up to LeBron and say, I'm going to be better than you? That's what Kobe told Jordan the first time he saw him on the court. Imagine that. He looked at him. He goes, it's an honor to meet you. I just want to let you know that I'm going to be better than you when it's all said and done. Let's ball. And Jordan loved it. Jordan wasn't like, who the hell is this kid? Jordan sort of grinned at him like, wow, this kid's got it. You know what I mean? Jerry West said the same thing. I heard last night during the thing when Jerry West told Magic Johnson, Magic told the story, and Jerry West saw Kobe Bryant's workout, and he called Magic, and he goes, we just got, like, the best player ever. And as a kid, he goes, no, you don't understand. Like, the workout was on another level. You know, like, Lonzo Ball's got flash. Lonzo Ball showed up out of shape and fat to the workout. He was gassed when he was running against pylons. Kobe Bryant comes to a workout and says, I'm going to massacre this workout and do the best workout ever. That's the difference of these guys. You can't teach that, Pete.
Well, no, you can, and it's in you. And how sad or how pathetic, you know, Gabe Morenci. I mean, you could barely name two players that emulate Kobe Bryant's work ethic and competitiveness. You named Draymond Green, you struggled a bit with Kawhi, and then you stopped, right? And that's the
Well, I'm not going to say work ethic.
There aren't any players.
You know,
right?
I'm not going to say work ethic, but I'm talking about, like, Draymond Green will kick you in the balls. He'll dive in the stands. Like, if you told Draymond Green, listen, we need you to get run over by a car in a parking lot before the game, but, like, he would do it. You know what I mean? He'd be like, yeah, is the other guy going to get suspended? Yeah, all right, I'll get hit by a car. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's certain guys, Dennis Rodman had that. You know, like, yeah, whatever. I'll push you in the back. I'll elbow you. I don't care. And I'm going to win.
Larry Bird had that.
Larry Bird had it.
And you mentioned Michael Jordan, Gabe. You know, the last time Kobe Bryant played Michael Jordan, he was in a Washington Wizards uniform, and it was the end of his career. Kobe Bryant put up 55.
Yeah,
he wasn't there to say, hey, you know what, this is respect.
I remember Kobe slapping the ball out of Jordan's hand and stealing and going down. I was like, damn. And exactly. Look at today's guys. They all bent over and let Kobe put 60 on them. Kobe would never have done that. He would have said, I don't care, this is your last game, bro. I'm taking the ball from you.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the great memories I have of Kobe Bryant, and it's internationally, right? So, you know, Team USA struggled in the early 2000s. They didn't win the gold medal until 2004, lost to Greece in 2006. Coach K comes in, and then Spain was, like, really a good team in 2008, and they wanted that redemption gold medal. The game was virtually a two-point game at the end of the third quarter, and then Team USA went on a 12-0 run. Kobe Bryant had five baskets, and he had two assists, or a 14-0 run. He directly had primary assists. He took over that game. And LeBron James was there, Dwayne Wade, all those guys. But the guy that won the gold medal was Kobe Bryant, and they just watched him. And that's the effect that Kobe had. Natural-born killer, refused to lose, give me the rock, follow me, or get out of the hell of my way. And you know what? Those years, the first three-peat, Shaquille O'Neal to me is the most dominant player I've ever seen, probably the most dominant player in the NBA historically. But the Lakers do not win those championships because without Kobe Bryant, because in the fourth quarter, that ball went to Kobe.
Well, and we showed. We got to get out of here, unfortunately. But Pete, my one deal with Shaq, and Shaq was dominant. I just have a hard time saying a guy was one of the greatest players of all time when he couldn't hit a free throw. But right. I got to get out of here. Always a pleasure, Pete.
All right.
Mike Cardano next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, and let's welcome back a man that hasn't been with us for the last couple of weeks, but it's great to have him back in the rotation. Mike Cardano, unlike our last guest, Pete Annapolis, who I wasn't going to spell out on Twitter, it's easy to follow Mike Cardano with Twitter, at Mike Cardano. You know, Mike, it's amazing that, you know, you're not Mike Cardano 1 or Mike Cardano 11 or something like that. You beat every other Mike Cardano to the punch, man.
my kids got it on my Cardano account. I think he uses an underscore.
Oh, see, underscore. See, he even beat the kid to the punch.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. You know, so, Mike, yeah. Why don't you raise your kid to be an NFL ref, man? You can do a better job. And then he could screw over the Patriots and stuff.
It's funny. When he was 7 years old, he told me he wanted to be a third-string quarterback in the NFL. I asked him why. He told me because he could get out of going to church on Sunday, and he got to play football all week and wear a red penny. Nobody could hit him.
Wow, I like his goal. See, he did not too high, but not you know, he's not. He didn't say, "Dad, I want to be a garbage man." He said, "I want to be a third string quarterback."
It was you know, well thought out. I thought,
you want to be that guy. Never really. In other words, you know what? Your kid's favorite player, Sage Rosenfels.
I taught him all about Don Strzok. Guy lasted for eons.
Yeah, Don Strzok. I remember him, Miami Dolphins.
All
right, so. Going back to the old days, I brought this up. You know, I remember, and I keep using Fred Biletnikoff as an example, but I just sort of have memories of Fred Biletnikoff with the Raiders, and remember Lester Hayes with the stick-em and everything. But I remember Fred Biletnikoff catching balls on the sideline, Mike, and he was like Bozo the Clown. He was juggling the ball was twirling. He'd almost like double flip it for show almost, like a kid in the snow. Let me tip it one more time. And then he'd come down with it, and it would be a catch. Because why? The ball didn't hit the ground. And in our day, Mike, and, you know, we're in the same age group. In our day, it was very simple. If the ball hit the ground, it wasn't a catch. None of this, well, you can control of it and this and that. Remember, we were taught, Mike, as kids, you scoop. Remember, you put both arms down on the field, on the grass, and you make sure that, you know, that you hit the ball, the ball lands on your forearms. Because you can't let the ball hit the ground. The second that they started this crap about, well, he controlled it, and now there's double crap about, well, did he have possession of it when he stepped out of bounds? I heard them use the word twirl the other day. Kareem Hunt caught a ball, landed on his back, but they said the ball twirled in his hand after. I don't give a twirl. What is this, figure skating? I don't know what you're talking about, it twirled. The ball didn't hit the ground. Like, to me, Mike, if the ball hits the ground, it's not a catch. If the ball doesn't hit the ground, it's a catch. It would make everyone's life a hell of a lot easier.
So I don't know if you caught this, but I have a solution to this. I put it out on Twitter. Now, this is going to blow your skirt up if you haven't seen it. How's this? If a player catches the ball, it should be ruled a catch. That's it. No article numbers or subsections in the rule book to follow that. If you catch it, it's a catch. That's it. If it looks like a catch and smells like a catch, it's a catch. But, you know, the rules are the problem more than anything else, Gabe. There's too many things that are left to referee interpretation, which just begs for controversy. And, you know, I have a theory that says the NFL really wants the controversy in the game, right? Here we are 72 hours after the officiating snafu, and we're still talking about it, right? Now, people our age are still talking about Dan Pastorini to Mike Renfro in the Houston Oilers Steelers 1988.
That's why they brought instant replay in. The Houston Oilers got screwed in that game. You know that was the first game that someone wore a flak jacket?
Yes.
The flak jacket was invented on that day. How tough was Dan Pastorini? He had multiple broken ribs, man.
Last time I saw Pastorini, he was doing the Joes versus Pros thing.
No, he sells picks, Mike, now. He's a handicapper.
There's nothing you could tell me or show me now to convince me that that wasn't a touchdown.
I know.
The
Steelers,
right?
Were the popular team in those days. What about the immaculate reception? Was that a catch?
Yeah. It never touched the ground.
Didn't? I don't think it hit. The Raiders say it did. It didn't.
No, it hit his foot, hit the guy's foot, and then it came up in Franco Court.
But listen, last night, you know, the referee fell down, took 10 seconds to spot the ball. You know, Walt Coleman's like 92 years old, dude.
How great would it have been if the time ran out when the referee tripped over the blade of grass and they couldn't get a playoff? Like, what would have happened?
No, they should have gotten the time back. Like,
I agree.
Like...
So, well, a referee's a part of the field.
I know. That's fine. If your quarterback's dumb enough to hit the corner, you know, hit the ref in the head with a football on a pass, I get it. But it's not, well, listen, the referee's a 71-year-old man and he fell and you lose the time on the clock.
So you're saying if Steratore has a coronary and he goes down with 8 seconds remaining and just lets time run out, you should get the 8 seconds back.
Did you see the interview the other day with the guy that wanted to be the judge?
Yeah.
Have you ever watched, he's like, you ever watched People's Court before? Nope. You ever been in a courtroom? Nope. So, like, and that was for the District Court of Columbia. Like, big decisions, Mike, being made there.
I was waiting for them to ask him if he was ever even in jury duty. Yeah, I got nothing to do with jury, the court.
Been in jury. Have you ever watched Law and Order? I thought of you, too, like in the old, the Holiday. I was waiting for him to say, listen, I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night, and everyone starts laughing. But I thought the same thing about the NFL refs. You know, here, I got the list here. This is off the top of my head here. Hockley, Sterator, Corrente, Triplett, Morelli, Walt Coleman. Is it a lifetime appointment? Is it like the Supreme Court? Like, you're an NFL ref. It doesn't matter how old and how stupid you get. You're there for life. That's what it seems like.
So now, I may get a visit from Vito tonight, but it seems like the Italian refs may be the issue here based on your list.
Yeah, I've said it before. Yeah,
Coleman, maybe his wife is Italian. I don't know. But
You're Italian, though, right?
Yeah,
because I know I put this out there. I know I put this out there in sort of, you know, ha ha. Like, hey, you notice all these guys are sort of shady here. Like,
hey, but, it is what it is.
I know. Corrente, Sterator, and Morelli. They're like the three worst guys in the league.
So, but, you know, but think about this, Gabe. In some respects, the referees get a bad rap because, and they take most of the heat because, other than taking a late hit on a quarterback or intentional grounding or the occasional holding call, they're just the spokesperson, really, for what the other six referee officiators are calling. They aren't calling many of the officials. So it's really the crew. And I go back to it's the rules. They leave too many things to the interpretation of the referee, and it just begs for a screw-up. You're just asking for it.
No, I can't disagree with that. It's not fully their fault, but there's no young, fresh blood referees. And, you know, it's to the point where some of these guys are just, there's no accountability. That's my problem. And, you know, I will say this. It wasn't a catch, Mike, under the new rules. That's not a catch. I had money on the over. I lost $900 because of that whole little sequence. It wasn't a catch. Like, I wasn't even, like, anticipating, like, during, oh, my God, after. I was like, it's not a catch. It's not, they're going to
Under the letter of the law, it's not. But the problem is the rule. Now, listen, here's the issue. The rule shouldn't be different for the 2 10-yard end zones than it is for the 100 yards of play.
And why is it different?
If it's the same for the entire field, it would takes away any confusion or debate.
And why is it that Tom Brady or a quarterback could do a QB sneak, get the ball over for a split second, somebody bats it out of their hands, and it's still a touchdown? Why is it different if you're a runner or you're a receiver? Like you said, that's all bureaucracy. But they made the right call. And we got to get out of here, but even the index card, it was the right call. It was a first down. Right?
Dave, on tomorrow's radio show, do me a favor. Go into how does the CFL address a catch? Because I don't know. I want to find out.
Yeah, you know what's funny,
American,
actually? We
listeners would want to know, I think.
All right, I'll talk about it on the show tomorrow because you know what the David Carr, the Derek Carr stuff out of bounds. CFL, it's whoever touches the ball last. It's still your ball if it goes out of bounds. And that's not a bad rule, actually. We'll hit on that. Thanks, Mike.
All right, take care.
We got to get out of here. Plays of the day next.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
All right, let's get to our plays of the day. Bowl season is back. Boca Raton, baby. You're telling me there's not one available condo in all of Del Boca Vista? All right, we got the largest point spread in college football history tonight, but it's coming down, man. It was 23, 23 and a half. It's now down to 22. I'm going to make it 21. I'll spend 34 cents. FAU are going to roll them, man. Lane Kiffin doesn't take the pedal off the metal. Terry Bowden is 7-1 in his career when getting 17 or more points, but this is a bad spot for the Akron Zips. I think FAU are going to hang 45-55. On Akron. Akron will score a bit as well, but FAU are going to cover the three touchdowns, and it's going to go over 65 points. All right, Cleveland Cavaliers not getting any respect, man. They've won 18 of their last 19 basketball games. They've beaten the Milwaukee Bucks the last three times they played them, and they're only laying a point on the road here. Give me LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. NHL hockey, the Canucks and the Canadiens both struggling to put the puck in the net. Total's 5.5. Give me the under. Las Vegas Golden Knights not struggling to put the puck in the net. Give me the Golden Knights plus 115. They're 13-2-1, and they're underdogs on their home ice. Yeah, I know Tampa's a good team, but Tampa's been out partying with hot chicks in Vegas for the last couple of days. Let's go over the number. Both these teams play high-scoring games to the over. Over the number. Other than that, you're on your own, man. The winners be yours.